You are spoiled, says the white guy whose country house you and your sister are staying in, and you think, does he mean we as Westerners and Swedes are privileged? Or does he mean black women with access to education and free healthcare are spoiled? Or does he mean humanity as a species is spoiled and corrupt?
Strikes me about the right-wing sites is that when you get down to the core complaints, the things that really upset them are linguistic. Like Black Lives Matter has driven them literally up the wall. They find that those three words so provocative that it's deranging people. I find that fascinating. My gut instinct is rageful. I feel like, are you saying to me that after 250 years of this twisted racial history, I can't even say these three words without you feeling hurt and mortified and rage? Like, I feel the rage, but my rage matching their rage is pointless. I think it's more interesting to think about what it is about white people that find the idea of any collectivity that excludes them so upsetting. I've always thought that's very interesting. Even when I was in school on a bus and I'd see a group of white people getting angry because four Bengalis were talking Bengali. I was always fascinated, what is making you so angry? And I think part of it is, like if you've ever been in a marriage or any relationship, it's insecurity, jealousy. And a kind of vanity that you should always be included in all things. So I think trying to understand the motivations behind it is interesting. Why do you turn that moment of mystery where you're not sure what's going on immediately into rage? Why does it have to be transformed into rage? Could it be transformed into something else like curiosity, concern, interest, acknowledgement that maybe this particular thing isn't to do with you? It's okay sometimes for things not to be to do with you. Of course, minorities are so used to things not being to do with them, that they don't tend to get rageful at that, you know? Now there's this pushback, the idea of representation, about being seen here on TV shows and magazines. When I was a kid, the idea that I wasn't present in anything was just the way it was, you know?
You watch the sunset over another day and feel giddy. Lying in bed seems like a good use of your time. You cannot think of anything more necessary right now than being asleep. Your chronic insomnia necessitates that you take a handful of mood stabilizers, plunging you into a heavy, dreamless oblivion. Sleeping feels generative and ethically sound. A commitment to inertia is perfectly logical in this political climate, you think, as it acts as a metaphor with a twisted, sociogenic undertone. Under the covers, your mind dances about, connecting the origins of man to the present alt-right, medieval slavery in the Iberian Peninsula to contemporary Islamophobia. During the hours of the day when you're awake, you fantasize about hibernating for a century, waking up to a species that has healed itself.
And B Legends Tour, and so far, you may not deserve to be on the cover of Vibe.
Well, there's a lot in that one. I mean, where should I begin?
Wherever you want to begin. It's your show. All right, I'm just here moderating.
All right, we'll start with the cutting edge part. When a man is free, and it puts him closer to God, first of all. The path is open to get to God. It's probably in both of those magazines to keep me off the cover and out of their magazine, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach freedom, all right? And I'm going to preach the annihilation of contracts, all right? And see, without contracts, you ain't going to need lawyers, because nobody's going to be in court arguing about money, which has no power, ultimately. All right, so it's in their best interest to keep me out of those magazines. I completely understand. I only ask them to put me in there, and I will ask for what I believe I deserve because I think I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
just think I'm great, you know? And, we're still selling out arenas. Mm-hmm. And so somebody else thinks I'm pretty great, too. And I don't say that to be arrogant. I say that to show that I love myself. And if more people did love themselves, they'd stop worrying about whether someone was...
I love myself, says Prince, the artist, in a televised interview you watch on YouTube. I love myself, you think, while a river of chocolate ice cream slips down your throat and into your belly. Because you love being mixed race, you should come with a trigger warning for racists. You and Prince would have gotten along well, you think. All his songs were about loneliness and desire. I had to get freed of the mentality of being a slave, says Prince, with amusement. Man came to Earth to recreate love. You laugh and turn off your phone, thinking, if man came to Earth to recreate love, if love is a human imperative, then you stand outside of it, somewhere in another world, the land of nope. Because depression is the flaw in love, and you stand outside, apart, askance, while Prince serenades the lovers, the friends, and the newlyweds. Far away from the land of nope, with its population of one bucket of flesh, you, located within the parameters of your bed.
A union between two people? Or does Eartha fall in love with herself?
I think if you were to think about it in terms of analyzing, yes, I fall in love with myself and I want someone to share it with me. I want someone to share me with me.
Has that happened?
Bye, Waylon! Bye! Many, many times. In many ways.
Blackness is a matter that cannot matter. The Negro physiognomy is barely evolved from ape, fallen, the animal signifier of man, as the philosopher Sylvia Winter puts it in her essay Unsettling the Coloniality of Being, Power, Truth, Freedom, Towards the Human, After Man, Its Overrepresentation, an argument. You need to go outside, but you can't because you're surrounded by a whiteness so sanitized and hollow that it turns you into a cliché, turning under the duvet, barely evolved. Aspiring to be part of anything remotely conscious seems futile and makes you feel self-conscious about your body shape, your hair, your speech. You don't want to force yourself to conform to the genre of man that is part of the Eurocentric script, not fallen, not ape-like. And even if part of you is beyond caring about things like Eurocentric beauty standards, part of you cares. A lot. Part of you considers your reflection and wonders if there is any way for you to join a genealogy that is not written out of the map that encompasses humanity. Part of you mourns our species and those unborn that are yet to come.